Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, along with Matt Peck, live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel. Live every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday on the Nothing But Net channel, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Welcome back. After the weekend, hopefully you enjoyed Zach LaVine's return to the Chicago Bulls, first time in a Bulls uniform, and also this game as well. Earlier today, Monday, just wrapping up here as I record, obviously, as you can tell, first solo pod Matt or I have ever done. I am on the mic solo. Matt had to take a trip to Houston this weekend and got stuck in some terrible weather here in Chicago today, so he wasn't able to fly back and record in time for this episode. So you'll be flying with me. Sit back, strap it down, and we're going to talk Bulls basketball here for the next hopefully 20, 25 minutes or so, but I will be your solo dolo co-host for today's episode. So I want to dive into both the Pistons and the Heat game over the weekend and the Heat game that just concluded. Bulls pulling off two wins this weekend, 107-105 against the Detroit Pistons. This one coming down to the very last second, the very last shot in which the Pistons missed, and the Bulls pull out the victory in Zach LaVine's first game back as a Bull, and also pulling out a win against a streaking Miami Heat team. You know, coming into the United Center, the Bulls had, you know, eclipsed a sort of trying to put together a small little win streak here of themselves. The Heat coming in winning seven in a row. So the Bulls looking like maybe this would be the game that maybe the Heat pull away from the Bulls, this being kind of a game in which the Bulls would be considered the underdogs in this game. But I mean, the way the Bulls have been playing over the last 6 weeks and how well that they've played and basically staying in just about every game you can think of, it's not too surprising that the Bulls were able to hold on and win 119-111, but not to say, at least for the very least, for the faint-hearted, both of these games were probably had you on the edge of your seat. So let's dive into them real fast. Before we get to today's game, I would just want to quickly recap the Pistons game from the other night. So in this game, Lauri Markkanen had another impressive performance. He went 7-for-15 from the field, 4-for-7 from three. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, 1 block. He also had that clutch shot late. He had a step back jumper from two that sort of sealed the lead for the Bulls in the final seconds. Barring that Justin Holiday turnover, and if Reggie Bullock was able to make that layup, we could have seen an overtime game for the Pistons and the Bulls on Saturday. But they were able to pull out the win, and I think the most important part we have to get to here is Zach LaVine's return. So in 19 minutes, in which Fred Hoiberg had talked about that specifically, that Zach LaVine coming back would be on a minutes restriction, at least for the first portion of his return. And we'll see how long that leash ends up staying. And I wonder if that's going to coincide with maybe some of the moves that the Bulls are going to try and make over the next 3 or 4 weeks leading up into that deadline, for about 3 weeks till that deadline. So I wonder if his minutes restriction, sort of just getting used to being back and playing every day, just being back in the mode of being a starter in a league, sort of has the Bulls being very cautious. Obviously, with the injury too, you want to be cautious. You don't want to throw a boatload of minutes at Zach LaVine right at the same time. But I thought for the first game that he had a fantastic game, a fantastic showing in 19 minutes. He dropped 5 shots, 5 of 9. line, 3 for 4 from the three. He had 2 assists and he only had 1 turnover, but he had 14 points total. It was a good performance from Zach LaVine. It was nice to see a little bit of a pep in his step. We saw smiles across the board from all Bulls players enjoying the fact that Zach LaVine was coming back. And something that we didn't touch on, that Matt and I didn't touch on before the weekend on Friday's show, was the return of Zach LaVine and how it was going to play out with guys like David Nwaba or Justin Holiday or even Denzel Valentine. I think Denzel Valentine being the most important part of this conversation, and just how he was going to react to playing so well offensively, especially over the last 3 or 4 weeks. We talk about how bad Denzel Valentine is on the defensive side of the ball, and at times it absolutely kills what the Bulls are trying to do. But the steady progression from Denzel Valentine's game and the way he's looked since last year, I think, is a testament to Denzel Valentine developing as a player, getting a little bit more comfortable with, you know, taking on a majority of minutes, taking on a bulk of minutes. I mean, anywhere between 20 and 25 a night. With Zach LaVine being out, he was eclipsing somewhere around 30 minutes a night too. He was playing as a starter. And so I think between all of that, you look at the type of pro that Zach LaVine is, that Denzel Valentine is, and I think it's sort of reminiscent to understand the type of personality that Denzel Valentine has. And I think Casey Johnson put it the best when he talked to Denzel Valentine specifically on a guy that we was, you know, shooting 40%. He had just come off a game of a career high in 20 points for the Bulls. And then he was told that, you know, he's going to be moved to the bench, going to probably be playing with the second unit. But Fred Hoiberg did emphasize that he wanted to see Valentine in late game situations in some of these closeout minutes. And we did see that against the Heat, and he played well actually in that Heat game. And he had some important possessions down the stretch that helped the Bulls eventually close out that game against the Heat. But I think it's a testament to who Denzel Valentine is, and hopefully sort of building that culture that we've always, that we talk about, the front office talks about a lot, in how they want players to be around that are going to buy into a role, or what's going to be best for the team as a whole. And for a while now, I feel like Bulls fans and us in general, we don't really understand the fact that there are a lot of players out there that are willing to buy in, and teams get better when players understand their role, are willing to give something up that may diminish what they're doing, you know, immediately, but for the foreseeable future, or what's going to be best for their team or their organization, stepping in a role and being okay with that, and then maybe flourishing there. So I think for Denzel Valentine to kind of take this on the chin and be a pro about it, and with Zach LaVine returning, he also talked about how Zach LaVine is a great player. He's a great teammate, and they're ecstatic about having him back in the lineup. And so I think we talked about it. Denzel Valentine's role, specifically coming off with that second unit, I think is going to benefit him too as well. You saw the confidence boost Jerry and Grant got when he was moved with Chris Dunn moving into the starters role. Jerry and Grant kind of playing with that second unit, and the kind of confidence boost he got, it seemed like he was playing well with that second unit. I think Denzel Valentine can flourish here with that second unit being sort of a scoring option, and his defense won't have to be so heavily reliant, and it won't be such an eyesore on the court when he is out there playing maybe against some of these second unit guys. But I think Fred Hoiberg emphasized that he wanted Valentine on the floor in closing minutes because of his basketball IQ. And I think with that, it kind of plays to Denzel Valentine's sort of, I would say, place to Denzel Valentine's strength, and I think it gives him a reason to push harder and to continue to develop his game and play in a role that best fits the organization, best fits the team. So obviously Denzel Valentine's going to have to take it either way, and I think it's going the route of being positive about it and seeing what he can do to maximize the benefit for the entire team in that second unit might be a good thing for the Bulls moving forward. So the Bulls pulling out this win, you know, Lauri Markkanen, I can't say enough about him. The energized confidence he's played in, and just specifically the Knicks game, this Pistons game, and even the Heat game today, the confidence that we're seeing from Lauri Markkanen is just absolutely overwhelming. It's oozing right now, I would say. And I went on a podcast over the weekend called On the NBA Beat, and they wanted an insight about the Chicago Bulls, and that was something that they really wanted to talk about, was Lauri Markkanen. And I had to point out, you know, just the pure confidence factor that Lauri Markkanen is having and sort of the benefits that he's been to the Bulls, at least so far this season. You know, we knew coming in from the draft that he was going to be this pure scorer, but we never knew that his defense wasn't as bad as maybe he was scouted. And so I think his game developing nicely, Chris Dunn's game developing nicely over these games, this Bulls team isn't as bad as maybe we think it is. And you're looking around, I look at this roster right now currently constructed, sort of makes you think like 16-27 right now, 10-11 at home, not very good on the road, but they're staying in every single game. And so that's why when we did the first episode of the year in January, I talked about how January needed to be the most important month. It was going to be the most important month for the Chicago Bulls in terms of where they're going to set their boundaries, in terms of how they're going to construct this rebuild. And I thought it was interesting point that was made by John Paxson on Friday. He went on Waddle and Sylvie's show on ESPN 1000, and he talked about specifically moving a guy like Nico Mirotic. We talked about it extensively last week in terms of what the Bulls could get, the rumors flying that Nico had interest from the Utah Jazz, that there was interest from the Detroit Pistons even, maybe even some inkling about the Portland Trailblazers being involved. And so obviously there's one factor that still sticks throughout all these rumors, throughout everything that people are saying, throughout what the Bulls have asked for, and they've stand pat and they've stand pretty firm on what they want for Nico Mirotic, and that's a first round pick. And I thought Casey Johnson brought up a great point as well. He said, if the Bulls are going to play to this factor, if they're going to play to this, that they're going to do what's best fit for the Chicago Bulls as an organization. They're not going to do what's best fit for Nico Mirotic. Same thing for anybody else that goes on this roster. They're not going to do what's best for them. They're going to do what's best for the organization as a whole. And so if their main goal is to get a first round pick for Nico Mirotic, and there is no team out there that wants to give up a first round pick, he said he would be surprised that the Bulls move him by the deadline. Now we talked extensively about teams that would be willing to give up a first round pick. And I thought that it would be a complete bust to just hold on to Nico Mirotic. And I know Matt probably has the same thoughts as me, but this is, in terms of value, what you would get for Nico Mirotic, this is the highest point, I think, of what you can get in terms of Nico Mirotic. And we've seen throughout the history that the Bulls love holding on to assets that they think might be more valuable until their value is maximized and then you get nothing for it. We've seen it before. We've seen it with Pau Gasol when they didn't trade Pau Gasol. We've seen it with multiple players, handful of guys that have been with the Bulls over the last 5, 6, 7 years. So I think it's still important to stress this, that you look at the team the way it's currently constructed right now. And I know the Bulls won't come out and specifically say that they're looking to tank, that they don't want this team to consistently lose. But hanging around a clips of where you could be possibly flirting with the idea of winning 35 to 40 games this season, in terms of what your goal was set out in September and October when you constructed this team, even over the offseason, I get it. The Bulls wanted to start with a head start in this rebuild. That's why they got Chris Dunn. That's why they got Zach LaVine, and they took Lauri Markkanen. And Chris Dunn and Lauri Markkanen so far have exceeded expectations, look a lot better than we thought they were going to be. Nico Mirotic has been exceeding expectations since coming back from the injury. Bobby Portis is playing the best basketball of his life in the NBA so far. So there's a lot of different factors on this team that are playing above expectations. And I get it. You don't want to create a culture of losing just for the sake of losing. But when you have such a high talent pool in the top five for the NBA draft, and the way that you currently constructed the team at the beginning of the season, which was to lose games, even though the front office won't admit that explicitly, none of the players will ever admit that, the coaches won't admit that, but you know it. Just looking at the roster from 3-20 when Nico wasn't on the floor, when Bobby wasn't on the floor for the first 7-8 games, you know, this roster was different. But now with the confidence boost in Chris Dunn, Markkanen, and the addition to Zach LaVine now to this lineup, and then you got Portis and Mirotic coming off the bench as two of the best tandems to come off the bench in the NBA right now. I mean, this team's looking at staying in games, and that's for a talent pool that you're trying to rebuild in such a great class like the 2018 NBA draft class is supposedly supposed to be, and how high the Bulls are on some of these guys. And we've heard it over and over again that they hold high value in those top five guys. So we're talking about Luka Doncic and you know, DeAndre Ayton and Marvin Bagley and Michael Porter Jr. and, you know, Trey Young could even be thrown in that conversation. Mohamed Bamba could be thrown in that conversation. So that's why I think in terms of moves that the Bulls need to make, I think I still repeat it over and over and over again that the Bulls need to act fast. I get it that they don't want to just trade assets off, but at the same time, how much longer can you keep guys like Robin Lopez on this roster, Nico Mirotic on this roster, Justin Holiday on this roster, without giving the question of what are we trying to do here now? Because it's obvious, like, I don't think the Bulls are ever going to go back this season to being as bad as they were 3-20 with the roster currently constructed like this. Now, do I think they're going to play up to the level of a 7 or 8 game winning streak like they did in December? Probably not, but like we've seen it now. We're in January 15th right now, and the Bulls are staying in pretty much every game they've played. Now, you guys will laugh at me when they play when Golden State comes to town on Wednesday and they possibly get their heads beat in. That's a little different conversation when teams like Cleveland or Golden State are coming into town, and those are the two teams pretty much competing for an NBA championship. Outside of that, the Bulls are staying in every game, and they're pulling off wins against teams that are playoff contending teams right now. And so you need to figure out what you want to do here. So are you okay as a Chicago Bulls team? Are you okay ending up with a chance of picking between 7 and 11? Because right now, if you're looking at the tankathon right now, the Bulls currently sit right now tied for the 10th position, 10th and 11th position, along with Utah and Charlotte. The Bulls have played two more games than both of those teams combined, so their winning percentage is a little bit lower. They've won 3 straight, though. The Lakers have won 4 straight. The Orlando Magic have lost 7 straight. Sacramento Kings have lost 4 straight. So teams are starting to try and, I guess I would say, put a little bit of a gap between the absolute worst teams in the league and teams that are hanging anywhere between 6 and 7 and 11 in the draft. And while it doesn't certainly guarantee that you're going to pick anywhere between there, just diminishes your chances at a top 3 pick and pretty much eliminates your chance at a number 1 overall pick. So that's why if the Bulls are very, very high on all of the top 5 guys, and they don't get a first round pick for Nico Mirotic leading up to the trade deadline, then I ask, like, then you've got to move Robin Lopez. Then you've got to move Justin Holiday. Like, if you don't care what you get for those assets, then you've got to move those two guys off this team. At least those two guys. Because if you're going to keep Nico Mirotic around, you're going to keep Justin Holiday around Robin Lopez, you're going to see a team that's going to probably win between 30 and 40 games, at least the way they're playing right now. And so is that what we want? For me, no. You know, there's a select amount of fans out there that do want to see the Bulls in the playoffs. That's crazy. That's not looking at long-term longevity in terms of competitiveness, but you know, there is a pocket of those fans out there, and there's a pocket of those fans in every team's fan base. But currently what I want the Bulls to get that top 5 pick. I think adding a top 5 talent to the roster currently constructed the way it has, say you take Robin, Justin Holiday, and Nico Mirotic off, I think you have a head start like the front office wanted up against all of those other teams that are trying to tank right now, trying to rebuild their teams and, you know, potentially be a contender 3, 4, 5 years down the line. So I think it's funny if the Bulls keep the roster the way it's currently constructed right now, don't make any moves. And we heard Nick Friedell tell us that, you know, 2 weeks ago when I asked him, is there any inclination, any possibility that this team could stand pat at the deadline and everybody stays the same? He said, I highly, highly, highly doubt that would happen. I don't think there's any chance that this team stands pat. And so I'm hoping that that still stays true. But if the Bulls don't get a first round pick for Nico Mirotic, he might not be going anywhere. All right, to quickly wrap up the show, let's talk about this Bulls Heat game. I know I kind of went off on a tangent there a little bit, just kind of breaking down what the Bulls are doing here in terms of the middle of January and talking about how important January is for this Bulls team in terms of not only in terms of this season in general, but just kind of the projection of their rebuild. I think the January is an important month for the Bulls in terms of deciding where they're going to move pieces, how they're going to go about the rest of the games that the Bulls have, so roughly what, anywhere between 35 and 40 games left in the season, that's going to put them on a path of either ending up in a late lottery selection or giving themselves the best chance to be at the top of that lottery. So let's go through this Miami Heat Bulls game real fast. So if you got a chance, if you were home from school today, if you were off from work, if you're a teacher out there off from work today, or if you simply just had the day off and were able to catch the 2:30 game, the Bulls, or maybe you were at the game too, you were enjoying, you know, you were given good Bulls basketball again this today. And so what I want to specifically talk about runs back to the last 4 or 5 minutes of this game. So the Bulls struggled to close this game out. I know they got a little bit lucky. They were allowed boneheaded moves by guys like Nico Mirotić, who fouled on a layup when the Bulls were up eight at one point with less than a minute left. Nico Mirotić makes that foul, turns into a 5-point game on Kelly Olynyk. Little things like that were happening to the Bulls, but they were able to pull out this game thanks to some clutch shooting from Lauri Markkanen, especially at that minute marker. He knocked down that three dagger to pretty much put the Bulls up eight and pretty much seal the deal on this game. But I thought in terms of people that played well in this game, again, I have to go with Zach LaVine. 20 minutes again in this game, 7 for 12 from the field, 2 for 4 from three. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals in this game. He was a +6 and +/-. He had 18 points. And I think it's only a matter of time before the Bulls kind of take the leash off of Zach LaVine. And it might be maybe 2 weeks from now. It might be 3 weeks from now. It might be a week and a half from now. I think it all depend on what moves the Bulls make coming up to that deadline in the first week of February. But once sort of the leash is taken off, the training wheels are taken off of Zach LaVine, like this guy, he's going to score 25, 30, 35, maybe 40 points a night. Like the scoring ability that Zach LaVine has, I think, was underestimated when he was coming in. Everybody talked about his defensive deficiencies, being a terrible defender, and saying like, hopefully he can come back as good as he was before his ACL injury in terms of offensive production. I think we're seeing that already, that he hasn't really skipped a step. I mean, this is only 2-game sample size. We need plenty more games, and we'll get that towards the end of the season to really evaluate Zach LaVine's doing. But just from a pure scorer standpoint, 22 years old, all the athleticism in the world, and you see it. He put 14 points up in 19 minutes in his first game, 18 points in the second. And it also brings some consistency from the three. You know, outside of Nico Mirotić, outside of Denzel Valentine, and even Justin Holiday once in a blue moon, you're going to get games where the Bulls are struggling to have a consistent 3-point shooter. I think this is going to help the Bulls a ton with the 3-point depth and sort of spread things out for guys like Lauri Markkanen and spread out things for Chris Dunn. And even guys, if they get into the rotation with Zach LaVine, guys like Denzel Valentine, David Nwaba, it's going to spread things out for the offense. And we saw it like once in the blue moon type of games. I'm talking about Justin Holiday in this game. He played 35 minutes. He was 8 for 15. He had a career high 7 3-pointers, 7 for 11 from the field. He had 25 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal and 1 block in this game. So Justin Holiday with a very nice game as well. Lauri Markkanen, I already touched on it. He had the dagger at the end of the game to hit that clutch three, put the Bulls up 8 with less than a minute left. He also had the coast-to-coast, like about 55 or 60 feet down the court, where he was just being antagonized and beat down by not only Kelly Olynyk, but Quinn Richardson too as well. And he got the foul call. He finished with the and one as well. So he had a 3-point play there. And then he flexed on the Miami Heat a little bit too. So it was cool to see that. And that's what I'm talking about with the confidence Lauri Markkanen's having, especially late. Like, his matchup against Porzingis and then his confidence to take late game shots, and he's starting to knock those down again. And then in this game against the Heat, closing games out, it's all looking up for Lauri Markkanen, and I really love it. And I thought one cool stat too that was put out there, I believe by Will Gottlieb of The Athletic, he said that right now, if Lauri Markkanen stays on the pace that he is, he'll he'll be the single season high in three-pointers made by a Bull in franchise history. Let me repeat that. He'll have the most three-pointers made in a single season in Chicago Bulls franchise history. It's pretty crazy for a rookie. He's also set that marker for rookies by hitting his 100th over this weekend, 103 of the season. Over this season, that's the fastest a rookie's gotten to 100 three-pointers made in history. So another cool little benchmarker for Lauri Markkanen. I know those stats are thrown out there every single game after Lauri Markkanen knocks down some threes, but this was a good game for Lauri Markkanen too as well. 17 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. He was 3 for 6 from the 3 and 6 for 13 overall in 30 minutes of play. Somebody that did have a sort of a bad game, but he made up for it in the fourth quarter, that was Nico Mirotic. Nico Mirotic had, I think, his first really down game since he's returned. I mean, you could point at a couple other games here or there where maybe he only scored 8-10 points, but I think with the exception of taking away that fourth quarter, you looked at Nico's game for the first three quarters, it wasn't the greatest. He struggled to knock down a three-pointer until the fourth quarter where he had three of them. He was 4 for 11 overall from the field, 3 for 10 from three. He made 7 free throws, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. He had all 18 points came in that fourth quarter where he knocked down back-to-back on back-to-back possessions. He knocked down 2 clutch threes for the Bulls, was playing aggressive, but you saw it too. Nico was struggling a little bit in this game. I think this is sort of a rare occurrence this season for Nico Mirotic, but this is where things get interesting. So we're past that month marker of what we had talked about where every season Nico Mirotic's best production in terms of analytics, in terms of stats, in terms of playing overall comes in that first month. We always joke about March being Nico's month, it is March, but it's actually his most productive month is the first month that he plays of the season. So this is where it's going to get interesting. I think over the next 2 to 3 weeks, I kind of want to monitor what Nico Mirotic is doing and what his production level is in those 2 to 3 week stretches after this full month of being in the Bulls lineup, in the Bulls rotation. I'm curious to see if those numbers dip down from what he was doing in that first month. But I think you're kind of playing with fire if you're the Bulls and you want to get maximum value for Nico Mirotic. It goes back to that saying, you're kind of playing with fire at that point. Like, if you allow Nico Mirotic to go on a 2 or 3 week stretch where his production dips, his shot all of a sudden becomes inconsistent, value could dip for Nico Mirotic as well. So I think that's going to be mindful for the Chicago Bulls front office over the next couple weeks leading up to the trade deadline. Now, I'm not saying one game is going to all of a sudden crush Nico and he's going to become inconsistent again. We'll see if that happens in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But 18 points in the fourth quarter helped the Bulls pull out this win against the Miami Heat, a Heat team that won 7 straight. So very, very interesting month of January for the Bulls coming up. We're halfway through it already. No deals as of late today have been made, but certainly some more rumors, some more interesting spots, some maybe some players to be considered to be moved out this Bulls team in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But Matt and I will for sure dive into all of that and keep you updated as well. I want to save the Golden State preview for tomorrow when Matt does come back, because there's going to be a lot of interesting sub storylines coming into Wednesday's game, how the Bulls might perform up against this team, maybe even how Jordan Bell's going to perform at the United Center as well. So this is going to be a fun matchup. And if you have an opportunity to get out to the United Center on Wednesday night, shoot us some pictures, shoot us some of the experiences that are going on at the game. We'd love to see them, some videos, some pictures, just anything you got. If you're at the game, we'd love to see it. So tweet at us at Locked On Bulls. We'd also like to get your thoughts. So give us your thoughts on some of these moves that maybe are coming up. So where would you like to see Nico Mirotic go? Would you like to see him leave the team at all? We'd love to hear from you. What teams, what in terms of value would you like to get back? Is a top 5 pick the most important thing for you as a Chicago Bulls fan right now? Are you nervous about this Bulls team going forward? We want to hear from you. So go ahead and email your comments, your questions, mostly your comments off of those few questions. We love to hear your feedback from them tonight and leading into tomorrow. So if you've got any burning Bulls thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. You can always tweet at us or DM us straight on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malian, at Bulls_Peck. or you can write on our Facebook wall or message us on Facebook as well. Facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. We're available on all three of those platforms. Email works as well. We're going to try to get a text line and a voicemail line set up here fairly soon so you guys can leave texts for us. It'll be as simple as texting a number in, or if you want to call in, rant about something for 2 or 3 minutes, we'd love to play that on the show as well. So we're going to get that set up sometime this week and have that for you. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Hopefully I wasn't too dreadful for you to listen to this episode as I went solo dolo here without Matt Peck. But tomorrow we'll be returning. Matt will be back in his co-host chair with me. Remember, we're live on Dash Radio tomorrow morning, DashRadio.com and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Remember, if you just bought a brand new GM make car, that's Cadillac, Chevy, GMC, any GM made car, Dash Radio is already installed into your system. So all you have to do is click on the Nothing But Net channel. We'll be right there tomorrow, 9 a.m. Central Time for everybody out there. Follow us on social media once again at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. All your comments, concerns, questions for us, all your feedback over on social media or at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. We're going to break down Zach LaVine's first two games, get Matt's thoughts on them as well as a little preview for the Golden State Warriors and so much more. But thank you so much for joining me here on Locked On Bulls. For Jordan Malley, I am out. Have a great night.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.